Happy Sabbath, everyone. So good to see you. No, happy Sabbath. So good to see you, Pastor. No, that's good. That's so good. A few things I just want to share with you. I heard it been said, but I do want to say to Sister Lily and the family, just know that your church family is behind you. Brother Byron, I heard, was actually a head elder for the church in the past. Is that so? And so, listen, we are grieving alongside the Hilton family, but we know we serve a God who has a promise for all those who sleep in Jesus. Amen? And the promise is there is coming a resurrection morning. And so, Sister Lily and all the Hilton family, just let that burn within your hearts that the Lord has this under control. I do want to remind the church family, Brother Wilton, is it possible to share the little, no? All right. I'll give him a chance to put that up on the screen. But just remember, December 17th. December what? 17th. That's Sunday, December 17th. We as a church family, we will enjoy a time together again this year at our annual church banquet. So don't forget that. Make sure you, Brother Amu, where are you at? Make sure you pencil that in, all right? We want to make sure that all of our church family, that you're there. The social committee is putting together a registration system for you. Once you see that next week, I'm going to ask the church family to do this. Go ahead and register immediately. Oh, okay. We'll come to that. But go ahead and register immediately. As you know, Elder Pastor Wintley Phipps will be here, and the moment the word gets out, you know what's going to happen, right? But we're reserving enough spot for all of our church members and their family and friends, all right? So the moment you see the link next week, I'm just going to ask you, please, just go ahead and register immediately, all right? Okay, so that's the 17th. Then on the 9th, Sister Faith, could you pass me a copy of that? Let me show you. It's on the screen there. Thank you. But on the 9th, December 9th, that's the weekend. However, Steve Wahlberg, can I get some deacons to just help me pass these out? Is that all right? One per family as much as we can. Because I would love for you to be able to, let me get this one. On the 9th, which is a Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., Pastor Steve Wahlberg and musician Neville Peter will be here. Amen? They'll be here on the Wednesday, the Thursday, the Friday, and also twice on Sabbath. And on Sabbath afternoon, they're ending with a question and answer time. And I'd just love for you to be there for that, where you can ask your questions. They'll be dealing with, Pastor Steve Wahlberg will be speaking on topics such as the beast on the move, America in Bible prophecy, and God's final warning, part one and part two. You don't want to miss this. I'm going to say it's a good time to start putting this on your calendar and to start as well by inviting your family and friends. Let them come out to this, all right? We're going to be here starting Wednesday night. And we're going to go out today. We're going to hand out some of these. And the goal is for the next 5 weeks to just invite the community as well. So your presence would be awesome, okay? To be here with us. And there is a fall festival tomorrow, right, Sister Alicia? What time do we start? 11 a.m., all right? So bring the kids, all right? Come on out, and let's enjoy the time together, all right? That starts 11 a.m. right here at our church, a fall festival for the church family. By the way, last Saturday night, guess what I was doing? Yeah, we enjoyed a good time of bowling last Saturday. Yes, truly, kind of showed them how bowling should be done. Right, Elder Marlon? Brother Adrian, we had fun, right? Amen. Amen. It was a really good time. And you know what? We counted, I don't know if we have the right number, but I counted over 50 people. Am I right? I know it was more than 50, but I don't know what the final number was. But all the kids were out, and it was just an awesome time together as a church family. And then finally, right after church, we're going to have a prayer session right here for the literature distribution out into the community. All right? We're going to pray, and then our elder Titus is going to take us back into the fellowship hall. And there she has everything laid out for the distribution. And so I hope you brought your walking shoes. If not, like me, hey, this works for me too. I'll just enjoy the walk, all right, as we distribute the Great Controversy and some other literature to the community, all right? So hang by and listen. Let's participate in that. Okay, I would rather this. My brother. This one? No? Okay. All right. I want to invite you to just open up the Word as we turn our attention to the lessons that God has in store for us this morning. Today, I'd like you to join me in this little book, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And we're going to read verse 18. First John chapter 2 and verse 18. The Bible says, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Let's bow your heads with me as we begin a series entitled The Antichrist and Israel. The Antichrist and Israel. Let's pray. Our Father, it's truly a joy to be right here this afternoon. We're here, Father, not only because it is a custom to us, but we're here simply because of you. You are our God. and we are completely dependent upon you. You have placed within our hearts a love for you. And through this love, Father, relationship we have with you, we just desire to do whatever you would have us do. And so as we listen, Father, to your words, teach us. Father, I pray that the words that we hear will find a soft spot within our hearts, a spot where we will not only receive it, but we will choose to act on it. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you will shower us with your forgiveness and bless us, Father, with your presence. I give you all that I am. I submit all my faculties into your hands to be used in whatever way you choose. I just simply ask, Father, that as you speak to me, that you'll also speak through me. And may as we all hear your words today, may we be edified, but may we also be transformed. And we thank you for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen. The Antichrist and Israel. I won't be speaking on Israel today, but it's very important that we understand what the Bible has to say in regards to the Antichrist. Amen? We're living in a time where so many discussions are actually going on around us, even right now, more so. In fact, with the war that's happening right now in Israel and Gaza, there are many preachers who are speaking so many things regarding Antichrist and his impact on Israel today. And so the question we have to ask is, who should we follow? Should we look to preachers, or should we first look to God? Are you with me? I remember this true story during the Gulf War. General Schwarzkopf was leading the war effort. The United States of America's army, along with all the world's army joining with them, were right there at the border in Kuwait, about to head into Iraq. And as they were about to cross that border to get into Iraq, guess what happened? It started to rain. It not only rained for one day, but it kept on raining as they began to cross that border. The general had to shut things down for some time and wait for the rain to stop. When the rain stopped and the general sent his men to survey the land before them, when he got the news of what they saw, he was completely shocked. You see, because of the rain, it was able to wash the topsoil off the path that they were about to travel. And when the topsoil was removed, it revealed thousands of landmines that were placed before the army. If it did not rain for those days and cause the general to stop, This country and the others who were with them would have faced a terrible time going across that border. I say that to say that I truly believe that God has given to humanity his word, the rain. Are you with me? And I believe when we read this book and we take this book first and not man, this book will help us to wash away the landmines of falsehood that the enemy has placed before mankind. Thank you so much. And one of the major landmarks of falsehood that has been placed before the world today is who is the Antichrist. It's a major truth that everybody should spend a little time just to research on your own. You will be blessed by that. I mean, if you spend an hour, 2 hours, 2 hours, 3 hours in the chemistry book, and you can't spend a little time in God's Bible, there's a problem. You're setting yourself up for a disaster. Are you with me, church family? This is the rain. And so today, I won't be spending long on these sermons. I'm simply going to read the Bible with you and allow God to wash away the topsoil. Hallelujah. And we'll take it trunk by trunk as we go through on seeking to find out who is the Antichrist. I am a Seventh-day Adventist Christian today because after studying what other Christians believe and other religion believes when it comes to this subject, I've found only one group of people who have said, we're going to follow the Bible and the Bible alone. We're not going to take any outside interpretations. The Bible gives its own interpretation. Do you know that? So let's just read the interpretation for ourselves. In fact, before we go into this text, I will say, which we will go through next week, the prophecies of Daniel 2 and Daniel 7 and Daniel 8 are so very important and critical to us living on planet Earth today. Those prophecies will share with every human being why this book is completely different from every book that was written on the face of this planet. There's no book that you can find outside of the Bible that can declare prophetic messages thousands and thousands of years before they happen, and they all happen with amazing accuracy. Come on, y'all. The reason why I look at this book as God's book is because only God alone could have done that. The prophecies are so very clear, and they are written years before they happened. And God was simply saying to us, guess what? I told you these things before they happened, Jesus said. So when they happen, you will know that I am He. Jesus said those words. When you see these things happen, you'll know that I am Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who came and gave my life as a sacrifice for anyone who will choose to believe. And I've chosen to believe. Have you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Antichrist. The word Antichrist is actually found 5 places in the entire scripture. In fact, You'll find it, those words, Antichrist, in 1 John 2, 1 John 4, and 2 John 1. Are you with me? No other place will you find this word. It's all written there in the New Testament. 5 times. We're going to look at each text. That's a sermon today. But the word anti has 2 meanings. The obvious meaning is what? Anti. Against, right? So Antichrist has the meaning against Christ or in opposition to Christ. But the word Antichrist also means in place of. Are you with me? So in place of Christ. In other words, whoever the Antichrist is, he acts like Christ, but he's not for Christ. Are you with me? I mean, he does the same things that Christ does. Some of the things that Christ did, Christ forgave sin. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Christ healed people. Praise the Lord. All of those things that Christ did, the Antichrist is acting like him, doing the same very things in place of Christ, in opposition to Christ, against Christ. The Antichrist is a person, one man says, who is against Christ. The prefix anti can also mean instead of, and both meanings will apply to this coming world leader. What do most people think today when they hear the words Antichrist? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, what do you think when you hear the word Antichrist? Hello, Marla, you're going 100 miles an hour, man. But you're right. But sure enough, so many people in our world, when they hear those words, Antichrist, something comes to their mind. I've heard some people said that Bill Gates was Antichrist. I have heard that many people were saying President Obama was the Antichrist. And then Donald Trump was the Antichrist. It's as if, as long as you're a leader, especially of America, you're definitely Antichrist. Right? Doesn't matter. But people say these things. But the biblical support of why they say what they say can't be found. Are you with me? The way to find who is the Antichrist is now simply to turn to the scriptures. And I'm going to go back to that text that we read, and we're going to look at the first identification mark of the Antichrist. 1 John 2, chapter 18, verse 18. Are you ready? Let's see what the Bible has to say. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall what? Shall come. So the Antichrist is coming, correct? But watch this. Even now are there many what? Whereby we know that it is the last time. In other words, the Antichrist was coming, but was here. John said that. In other words, John is trying to say, I am living in a time when the Antichrist is actually here. Are you with me? In fact, there's another text here where we can go to 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4. Just scoot over to 1 John chapter 4. Can we put the scriptures on the screen? Is that possible? 1 John chapter 4, you with me, church family? Let's read verse 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is coming to the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of? Wherefore ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the what? Are you with me? You heard it should be coming, but it's actually here. The Bible says, not for us to look for the Antichrist. The Bible is saying the Antichrist is here today. Come on, y'all. You have to understand this preacher. I put my life on this book. And if I am wrong, well, that is all right. Because that's how I chose to live my life, right? But guess what? Guess what? This book, as I said earlier, is the book of God. And God is never wrong. So if he says we're living in the midst of the Antichrist, he's here right now. Well, he is. Let's find out who he is. But the truth is, many preachers today are preaching that the Antichrist is coming. And I'm just gonna read you one. I'll read you more as we go through the series, but for today, I'm just going to share what one preacher says. He's one of the most prominent preachers on this topic today in the United States of America. Very prominent. And many people go to him when it comes to subject like these to find answers. But guess what? I often say if he can read and I can read, why am I going to depend on him for any kind of interpretation? Here's what he said, Pastor David Jeremiah. And what he's saying here, it's not unique to him. Are you with me? This is not something that he is teaching and believing and practicing by himself. This is what evangelical Christians are teaching and preaching, especially in this time with what's happening in Israel. He says, the Antichrist, listen to the word choices, the Antichrist could be alive today. Are you with me? Just listen to the word choices there. Could be alive today. But we can't know for sure. You just heard what I just said? Now, the Bible is not a wishy-washy book. The Bible wants you to know for sure. And you can't know for sure who the Antichrist is. So if he doesn't know whether he's here or not, or what's up or what's down, why am I going to listen to him? In fact, let me just continue for a little bit. The Bible says that his identity will not be revealed until the rapture. In other words, the Antichrist is going to come upon the world scene after the church is raptured into heaven. That's when you'll see the Antichrist. So you're not going to be able to identify him right now. You know, that thought is so deceptive. You're going to learn something as we step this through in the next couple of weeks. But just listen to the thought. You won't be able to tell who it is until you're in heaven. Are you hearing me? We're going to talk about the rapture. All right? And we're going to study the rapture. The fact is, it's not something to believe in the sense that when the rapture takes place, guess what? There's nothing secret about it. Are you with me? There's nothing secret about the coming of Jesus. Jesus is not going to come one day in a secret form and take people to heaven while you're flying in the airplane one day. And can you imagine you see people missing? That's going to tell you something. What happened to me? Are you with me? If you see your brother or sister beside you just gone, man, there should be a lot of praying taking place right there, because maybe the pilot is also gone. Are you with me, folks? There's this teaching about the secret rapture that can happen at any time now, where God is somehow going to just take up his people to heaven. Where in the Bible do you find that? We're going to study it. But Jesus is never going to come to this planet secretly. Yes, the Bible did say, and Jesus did say, that his coming is going to be like a thief in the night. But that doesn't mean, that is actually telling us that we should be ready. If you know that a thief is coming at 2 o'clock tomorrow to your home, are you going to be found sleeping? That's all Jesus was trying to say. Watch and pray. Be ready. Because we know not when the Son of Man will come. Are you with me? That's all he was saying. He wasn't going into the different aspects of the parable. Parables are just given for us to understand the main message. The moment we started dissect parables, we end up into all kind of different teachings. The main message is, be ready. That's it. Be ready. So many preachers and teachers, like Pastor David Jeremiah, they're teaching right now that the rapture is going to come, and then you will know who the Antichrist is. While the Bible says the Antichrist is already here. Did you know the preachers who started the Methodist Church, the Lutheran Church, the Presbyterian Church, do you know all these Reformed preachers, they knew who the Antichrist was? And they preached who the Antichrist was from the Bible. The Antichrist is no mystery. The moment you start reading Daniel 2 and Daniel 7 and 8, it's clear who the Antichrist is. And he's working today. And most of the problems that we're going through spiritually in this country and through the world, it's because of what the Antichrist is doing right now. So the Antichrist is what? He's here. Can we say that? Let's go to another text. 1 John 2, verse 22. Let's go down to 22. Actually, we covered how many? We covered 2 so far, right? Good, thank you. All right, so who is a liar, the Bible says in verse 22? But he that denieth that Jesus is the what? So the Bible says, if you deny that Jesus is the Christ, he is what? Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. The moment someone denies that Jesus is the Christ, you know, so don't think that the word Christ is Jesus' last name. You know, we say Jesus Christ. It's not his last name. The word Christ there simply means Jesus, the anointed one. Are you with me? That's who he really is. He's the anointed. He's the Mashiach or the Messiah. All right? He is very God in flesh. Very God in flesh. And in fact, in this text, it's identifying two people here in the Godhead, the Father and the Son, as two different beings. Are you with me? Two different. So when people say, and I do have friends, many friends from different churches who say, hey, listen, there's only one being, one God who manifests himself in different ways. How come they pass the book of Genesis that says, let us make man? Where does the us come from? That's plural, isn't it? It's multiple. There's more than one supreme godly being. Are you with me? So basically, the Bible is very simple. It's either you accept it or you leave it alone. Don't try to argue with it. Let us make man. Jesus is divine. And anyone who seek to deny that, Bible tells you. That's the Antichrist spirit right there. You know, the Bible doesn't spend too much time trying to explain the mystery of the Godhead or the mystery of God. The truth is, it is a mystery, Elder Stewart. And much of it, we have to accept by what? By faith. But I tell you what, once we do that and we begin to take what the Bible says as the word of God and start to live by it, oh, God starts to bless you with so much relationship blessing. You don't want to ignore the God, but the supreme God of heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you are content with that. The Bible is very clear that Antichrist spirit, it says, I like the word it used here. It says, who is a liar? Do you see that? Who is a liar? That means the Antichrist is a liar, and he denies the Father and the Son, but we won't. Hallelujah? Oh, we're not going to deny our Father. We're not going to deny our Jesus. And we can't forget the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So what have we learned so far? Antichrist is here. Is that true? And we also learn that whoever denieth that Jesus Christ is the Christ, thank you, is Antichrist. Are you with me? Let's move to the last one now. Let's go to 2 John. Skip over to 2 John. Chapter 1. 2 John chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 John chapter 1 and verse what? For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come into the flesh. This is a deceiver and an anti-what? Are you with me? So if you deny that Jesus Christ has come into the what? Flesh. In other words, he is not just God, but he's also what? Man. He's the God-man. He's the God who chose to come into our existence as a human being. Assumed flesh and live in this flesh on planet Earth as God himself. You know, the book of Philippians, because this is also a mystery, the incarnation. But it's something that we can't figure out all that's involved in it. We can only accept it based upon what God says. And you know, in the book of Philippians, it's just come to my thought here. I believe it's chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 speaks of Philippians chapter 2. Let me go to verse. Let's read verse 2. Let's see what it says here. It says, verse 8. And being formed in the likeness of what? In the likeness of? And being formed in the appearance as a man, sorry. He what? Humbled himself as a man. And became obedient to the point of what? Even the death of the? And therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above all name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should what? Of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus humbled himself. He emptied himself in such a way where he left everything in the hands of the Father. And he chose to live his life like that, completely dependent upon the Father. Do you know, even in death, something amazing happened to Jesus? Even in death. When you read Galatians 1, verse 1, you'll find where the Bible says, he was raised by the glorious power of the Father. Jesus was. Which means, the question when the Bible says, did Jesus die? Did he die? Of course. God the Father raised him on the third day back to life and restored to him all the prerogatives of all of his divinity. He submitted everything in the hands of the Father and lived like that while he was on planet Earth. And he's saying, every person who chooses to live like that, submitting their life to the Father, even if we should die one day on planet Earth, guess what will happen? If God raised Jesus from the dead, guess what he would do for us too? You have to believe that, he's trying to say. But in this text right here, look at the word it used. For many deceivers. In other words, Antichrist, they're liars. Antichrist, they're what? Deceivers. Do you see that? And they don't confess Christ as coming in the flesh. But the Bible does. So again, let me just review those simple truths from the Bible. Antichrist is here. Do you see that from the text? Antichrist denies the Trinity, denies the Father and the Son. Antichrist denies that Jesus Christ walked this earth as a man and yet being God. Are you with me? Antichrist. As I said, we won't be long today. But I have to leave with a text that speaks about Christ. Can't talk so much about the Antichrist and say nothing, right? About Christ. And you know, John had the same idea. He had the same idea. Look at what John said. Go back to First John chapter 2, and look at what he said right before he actually mentioned the Antichrist. Look at what he said. Let's read verse 1 John 2, right? Let me get there in a second here. 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to read the first few verses that begins this text. It says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father." It's not saying that we have an advocate, meaning we have someone pleading with the Father. Jesus is not in heaven pleading with the Father. Everyone is on the same page. Everyone is working together to save mankind. Are you with me? So what Jesus has on his agenda, same thing with the Father. What Jesus knows, the Father knows. Are you with me? So, you know, people say Jesus is pleading with the Father for us. He doesn't have to plead for anybody. They're working together. But Jesus is working on our behalf as advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins. That word is like saying, and you could just, if you'd like, use the word sin offering. Is that okay? Because sometimes this word is hard to understand by just speaking it. But if you just remember, Jesus is our sin offering. Hallelujah. You remember how they would, Amen. You remember how they would bring a lamb, which was a sin offering, into the temple, and they would confess their sins on top of the lamb? You remember that? It's the same thing. When we confess our sins to Jesus Christ, he received those, right? And we can turn away, like they will turn around in the temple and go home sin-free, meaning forgiven, all right? Meaning forgiven. They will turn around and go home knowing that sin that they left in the temple will never, ever be used against them again, because it was forgiven, right? Now, Jesus is that lamb for us. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible says he's our sin offering. Have you placed have you confessed your sins to Jesus Christ? Have you laid the weight and burden of that upon him? If you have not done so, this is a perfect time to do that. Not leaving this church and not doing anything about it, because I simply believe that God brought us all here today to hear a word from him and those watching. And God is saying, listen, I love you too much. I want everyone to know I am your sin offering. You don't have to live with that guilt, that burden and weight of what you did. You can come to me. I'm ready to forgive. What a God. And he himself is our propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. The Christ, the anointed one, the God who chose to look upon his creation and then not looking away, but chose to do something about what happened to this planet. He chose to give his own life as a sacrifice so every human being would have the opportunity to come to him and have their sins forgiven. You know, the story is told of a dad who was working all day, came home and he was very tired. He knew that the moment he opened that door, someone was going to come and rush to him. He started to think about what he could do. And sure enough, as soon as he opened the door that day coming in, "Daddy, daddy, daddy, can we play? Can we play? Come on, can we play?" He's like, "Son, come here, I have a plan for you. Come to my office." So he walked into his little office right there, and he sat down, and he grabbed the newspaper. On one side of the newspaper was a picture of the world. And so he came up with a plan. He said, "Son, I want you to take a look at the newspaper." And the son took a look at it, but the son was smart. The son looked at both sides. And he looked, gave it back to the dad. Dad took it. "Son, I'm going to cut this up. I'm going to cut it in many pieces, and here is a tape. I would like you to go to your room, all right, and put this world back together again." And the son said to the dad, "Okay, I can do that." So dad thought he bought himself a couple hours so he could really get a little rest and then engaged. And so sure enough, the son took the papers, ran upstairs, and sure enough, he started to work. The dad went to his recliner, and he just sat back, relaxed. As soon as he could finish that breath, the son came rushing into the room. "Dad, guess what? I'm done. I was able to put the world together." Oh, my, the father was so shocked. "Son, how could you have done that?" "I don't know. Did mommy help you?" "No." "Well, how did he do it?" The son said, "Dad, on the back of the paper was a picture of a man. And so guess what I did? When I put the man together, guess what happened to the world? The world came together. The world came together." Many people are just, for some reason, choosing to walk this life without Jesus. And he's trying to say to everyone, "I love you so much. I know what you have been through. I know what you have done. But I gave my life for that. My blood was spilled for that. Don't take it for granted. Come." If there's anyone here today who would like to say, "Jesus, you know what? I want to know you. I want to learn more about you. I would like to just share with the congregation." Maybe you're listening online as well. On December 9th, Sabbath, December 9th, we're having our next baptism. We already have two candidates who will be baptized. And we're preparing more. And maybe you would like to join that group on December 9th. We would love to study and prepare you for that. If you see where you'd like to begin that path with Jesus, learn more about him, have your questions be resolved through the scriptures, I'm inviting you to make a decision for him today. And maybe you're here, you've been traveling on the path with Jesus, and you just recognize how much what he has done for you is so valuable to you, and you just want to just renew that commitment with Jesus today, wherever you find yourself and your need for Christ, right as I pray, right before I pray, I'm going to invite you to stand. Whether you'd like a study, or whether you just want to say to Jesus, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your forgiveness. I'm going to invite you just to stand as I pray. Thank you for all that you have done for me. And I ask you to bless me with your forgiveness and your presence. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you. Thank you for the indescribable gift that you blessed us with. The life of your only begotten Son, Jesus, the Anointed One. Father, today we stand in your presence, declaring that you are our God. And there are times, Father, you know, there are times that we have failed you. But today we come in full recognition that you are our Creator, Redeemer, and our friend. And we simply ask if you will shower us with your forgiveness this afternoon. For whatever we have done, Father, that is completely unlike you, we ask that you forgive and you remove. Build a tight bond between us. Father, we surrender all that we are so you can do all that you can do in our hearts. We want to be like you. We want to be faithful to you. And we want to say, we need you. We need you. For those, Father, who would like to know more about you, I pray that, yes, you bring comfort to them. But I also pray, Father, that you bring them through a process where they're able to recognize how much you love them and how much you desire to have them saved. There are lots of deceptive teachings going around, Father, regarding the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ. There's an enemy who is at work doing all that he can to take as many as he can away from your truth. But today we have learned from your word that the Antichrist is here. That the Antichrist is a deceiver and a liar. That the Antichrist denies you and Jesus, our Savior. But Father, no matter what the enemy does, we know that he's just a creature. And we serve a Savior. May that be our focus. May Jesus be the highlight and the forefront of our lives. And may he be praised, may he be honored, and may he be glorified through our lives now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church of the living God say, amen. Amen.